Good morning, Southridge. How are you guys doing? We okay? We're good? Today is our generational service, and so today is a special day. It's when we get to gather together, both the young and the old, to listen to God's Word together and experience Him today. Now, kids, hopefully you got your Play-Doh, so at different times of our story today, I'm going to encourage you to take that Play-Doh and to sculpt it into something from God's Word, something from our story. Okay, we're going to get to that, and I'm going to start off my morning with a question for each of you, and here's the question I want to ask you guys this morning. What is the one thing you would never get rid of, even if your parents or your spouse or your friends asked you to get rid of it? What's that one thing? And I don't want you to tell me. I actually want you to turn to the person beside you on your left or on your right, and I want you to ask them that question. Go ahead. Don't put your hand up. All right. Hands up if you are willing to share your item. Hands up, willing to share your item. Who is going to share it this morning? Christian, go.
My sisters.
Your sisters. Good answer. Okay, what else? Way in the back, yep.
My brother.
Your brother. All right, right here. What's your item? Your pet. What would be your pet? What else? Middle section. Come on now.
Please.
Joelle, how about you? Your
Bible.
Awesome. Come on, adults. I know you said something. I heard you talking. Come on. Show of hands. What's that special item? This section. Last one. Oh, right there. Perfect. Yes. What's yours?
My fishing rod.
Your fishing rod. So my item I've had with me for about, I thought it was 10 years, and then in preparation for my talk, it was actually 12 years. So 12 years, I've had this little tube, and I bought a picture of Muhammad Ali. And my intent was to take it in my home and was to frame it. And so it's, my wife and I, we've lived in a lot of basement suites. We've rented a lot of homes, and so our home now is a little bit larger. But in all those suites, I just never got the opportunity to hang it. And it was always kind of the standing joke that when I get my own office or I get my own room or my own garage, I would get to hang it. And so this thing has come with me for 12 years. It's been in storage closets. It's been in our garage. It's been in closet after closet, but I don't think I could part with it. I don't know why. It's just been with me. It's something that hopefully one day I'll actually get to hang it. So, but that's my item. Now this morning we are going to continue in our By Faith series, which is in Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing this series, and you guys saw the little video about Moses, and so most of you have heard about Moses before. And so what we're actually going to talk about is not the amazing things he did later on in his life, but we're going to talk about the very beginning of his life. And so we're actually going to talk about a mom and a dad that didn't follow someone's orders, and by faith, kept their son alive. So we're going to look at that. And I've brought some items here this morning that are going to help me tell my story from my life at different points. But the first thing I want you guys to do is we're going to open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to find our verse for this morning. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bibles this morning, it's verse number 23. If you don't have it, that's okay. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Hebrews 11, verse 23. And I'm going to read it for you this morning. It says here, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So that's going to be our verse this morning. And as you can see, that our focus for our next maybe 15, 20 minutes is all going to be the faith of his mom and dad. The faith of a mom and a dad. And a story of Moses is actually found in Exodus. And so that's where we're going to spend all of our time today. So I'm going to get you also to turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 2. And that's where we're going to spend our time. We're going to look right at verse 1. And before we read this kind of the story, I'm going to pray for us this morning and then we're going to continue. God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your word. God, how we can sit here and we can read it together. God, I pray that, God, that together we would experience you. God, that you would be in this place and that you would be our teacher. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read the different chunks of the story, and then we're going to kind of briefly talk about it. So that's going to be kind of what our morning looks like. And kids, this is where you come in. Every single time I read a chunk of the story, I want you to grab onto one thing from that story, and I want you to sculpt it out of Play-Doh. Okay, so we're going to have three different portions. So every time I read it, I want you to listen. I want you to say, yes, that's what I'm going to build, and I want you to kind of sculpt it out of the Play-Doh. And I'm going to start by reading the first four verses. Exodus 2, verses 1 to 4. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that son was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of context so that hopefully helps you make sense. Now up until this point, where our story takes place is in Egypt. So our story takes place in Egypt. And the Israelite people, so where our story takes place, they are actually in slavery right now. So the people of God are in slavery. And the king at this point in time, he just gave an order. And his order was that all the baby boys born by the Hebrews were to be thrown into the Nile River. But all the girls may live. So all the boys had to be thrown in, but all the girls could live, right? And when we look at this story, we can see that a man and a woman got married and they had a son, right? But remember, Pharaoh said, no, all the sons need to be thrown into the river. But the parents saw that he was a special child to them. He was not an ordinary child. And so they hid him for 3 months. 3 months they hid their son. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like for a mom and a dad? My daughter is now 4 months, but for 3 months, they had to wake up every single day praying and hoping that today was not the day that someone finds their son. That today was not the day that he was thrown into the Nile. And they had to do that for 3 months. And then it came to a time when the mom decided that, you know, I can no longer do this. I can't do it anymore. I can't hide him anymore. I can't keep him safe. So she came up with an idea to make him a basket, make sure it was watertight, put him in the basket, and then send him down the Nile River. Can you picture the dinner time conversation between mom and dad about this? Dad comes home from work. Hi, honey, how was your day? Oh, honey, it was hard. They're working us like slaves out there. I'm sorry to hear that. I was thinking today, and I actually had a plan for our son. Oh, you did? That's great. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to make a basket, like a little ark. And then we're going to make sure it's watertight. And then we're going to put our son in the basket. And then we're going to put the basket in the Nile. And then we're going to let it go. And then what? That's it. That's it. That's it. That was the plan. This mom had come to a place in her life where she had no other choice other than to put her son in a basket and release him as an act of faith, having absolutely no idea if he would live or if she would ever see him again. I like to think, I often wonder, I look at that and I say, I wonder what the mom's best case scenario was. Like, what was going through her mind was the best case that would happen? What would be the worst case? I don't know if this mom knew exactly what was going to happen next. And in this part of the story, we also see that the sister's at the river because she wants to know what is going to happen to her brother. What is going to happen to him? And now up until this point of the story, God has seemingly been silent, right? He's been silent. At any point in time, he could have stopped Pharaoh. He could have stopped that whole plan, but he didn't. So what does that mean? Does that mean God is stumped in what to do? Oh, touche, Pharaoh. What am I going to do? Does that mean he's doing nothing? What is God doing? How many of you have ever played this game before? Hands up, you played the game Pictionary before. Okay, some of you have, okay. Okay, so in Pictionary, one person is drawing, and the person that is drawing, what's one of the rules that they can't do? What's one of the things they can't do? What was it?
Talk.
Can't hear you.
Talk.
Thanks, girl. I could hear you. Talk. So you can't talk. Does that mean the person drawing is doing nothing? No, we know that they're drawing the picture. And I think that's kind of similar to what God is doing. Could God have talked at any point in time? Yes, I think he could have. But I also think that he was drawing and he was actually orchestrating the plan of Moses' life. At any point in time, God could have done something. But we need to remember from that in those situations, God is in control. He's not in control, but he's also drawing the entire picture of your life and of my life, of our lives. So God is still working. Okay, let's read the next part of our story. Kids, are you ready to grab onto something? Hopefully you sculpted something in the first part. Here's the second part. We're going to read a couple more verses. Here's how the story continues. Verses 5 to 7 in Exodus. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave girl to go get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" So can you believe it? This basket floats right to Pharaoh's daughter. The same daughter of the Pharaoh that gave the order to kill the babies. Same Pharaoh floats right to him. She sees that it's a Hebrew baby. She feels sorry for the baby. And then the sister. Hands up if you're a sister here. Hands up if you're a sister. Brothers, this is why sisters are awesome. This is why they're awesome. You know what the sister goes? She goes, "Hey, Pharaoh's daughter, should I go get someone to nurse the baby for you?" I wonder who she had in mind to nurse that baby. Any guesses? Mom, yes, what a good sister. That is awesome. Okay, let's see what happens. Next part of the story. Kids, you ready? Got your Play-Doh? Here's the next one. Last couple verses. Verses 8, 9, and 10. "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So amazingly, Pharaoh's daughter doesn't listen to her father's command, doesn't listen to her father to throw him into the Nile, but instead, she says, yes, go and get someone to nurse this baby. Yes, go. Can you imagine what the mom must have been like when the daughter comes booking into the home? Mom, you're never going to believe this. Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and she wants you to nurse him. Can you believe it? I imagine her mind is just like, what? Really? So she goes, she gets to nurse the baby, she gets to hold her son ultimately, she gets to love him, she gets to tell him about their God of their fathers, she gets to tell him who he is, and she gets paid to do it. She gets paid to do all of that. I don't think she saw that coming. That's just my thoughts. So eventually Moses grows up from all that, goes, is given back to Pharaoh's daughter. He becomes her son, and he is given the name Moses. So I don't know about you, but I think of this story as an amazing story. And the thing is, it's true. It's an amazing, true story. And Pharaoh's plan through all of this, Pharaoh's plan was to kill these baby boys by throwing them into the Nile. But what's amazing is God's plan to save Moses was to throw also him into the Nile. Isn't that amazing? God gave Moses safety by having him grow up in the very household of Pharaoh. What Pharaoh intended to do harm, God intended for good. When Pharaoh wanted to bring about death, God brought about life. I read this story and it makes me stop and think, why do I ever struggle to trust in God? Why do I ever struggle at times? Because clearly God can do amazing things. Only he can turn something that is so terrible, so terrifying for a parent, into something absolutely amazing. Only God can do that. As we take a step back from our story, I want us to draw a parallel to the story, and I want us to see that a life of faith will include challenges. It's true. Moses' parents faced the threat and the challenge every single day when they woke up of their son being taken from them and thrown into the Nile. You and I may never experience that specific challenge, that threat in our life. But our challenges will come if we want to live by faith. They will come and they are going to come. We also need to see that in this, God does not work despite our challenges. He actually works through our challenges. See, God saved Moses not despite Pharaoh's order to do this, but he actually saved Moses through that. This is the same with actually our salvation. God's plan for salvation for us did not come despite the death of Jesus. It didn't. It came precisely through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we, sitting here, and everybody else can have life. God works through these challenges that are going to come. And when these challenges come, I think that we need to remember something. We need to remember Romans 8:28 when these challenges come. Romans 8:28 tells us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'd like to ask you one final question. What is your river? What is the thing that you know that you need to do, that maybe God is calling to do, but you are absolutely terrified down to your core because you have no control and you have no way of knowing what is going to happen next? What is your river? What is that for you? And your river may look nothing like my river, and my river is going to look nothing like your river. But our rivers are going to come. Challenges are going to come. And the question is, are we going to act and step boldly and trust God, even when we have absolutely no control? 5 years ago, this item represents my river that was in front of me 5 years ago. And this is... it says that it's a British Columbia adult graduation diploma. So 5 years ago, I felt the call of God in my life. 5 years ago, I served at a soccer camp. And after soccer camp, I had just this overwhelming joy. I had kids come to know Jesus. I led some kids to know Jesus. And God used that time. It was like God was speaking to me. He said, John, this is what you have been waiting for. This is why I've made you. I've built you to do this. I've been up until this place. I've been waiting for God to show me what I was going to do. I had done a lot of different things, worked in a lot of different workplaces, and never knew what God wanted for me. But this was clear. Everything became clear. I was like, this is what we wanted. So I told this to Elizabeth, one of our staff here. And I remember sitting in Pastor Brent's office with Elizabeth, and we were talking about the idea of starting an internship for me, and that through this internship, I would begin to get a glimpse of what ministry is and begin to learn about it. And I remember these moments vividly, sitting in his office, because part of me was scared. Part of me was just like, I don't really know what any of this means. But I remember sitting there, and the thing that came really clear was something that I had forgotten about and tried to push away. God brought right back to my life. He brought that river right in front of me. Because it became clear that if I was going to work in a church and this is where God was calling me, that I would need to go back to school. And I would need to go and enroll in some biblical studies program and continue to learn about God. The problem with that is I never finished grade 12. 5 years ago, age 25, sitting in his office, I had never finished school. It terrified me, the thought of me having to go back to school. So what does that mean? Does that mean now I'm going to have to sit in a classroom with 16-year-olds? What are they going to think of me? I got nothing in common. I got a wife and two kids at home. Like, I just don't jive, right? Like, it's different. I'm terrified. What are they going to think of me? Do I even have the time to do that? Married, kids, internship, working. Can this even happen? I'm terrified that I have to face this. So my internship started. Pretty much as soon as my internship started, so did my schooling. Went to school. Was I in the class with 16-year-olds? Yep. You're never going to guess. Honestly, you're never going to guess. Like, it's like the story. You're never going to guess who sat beside me on my right-hand side. Any guesses? If you know, don't say it. Who sat beside me? Take a guess. Not Muhammad Ali. My brothers. Two twin brothers I have, 10 years younger than me, are in my class right beside me. Wow, God's got a good sense of humor. We worked on the same projects in the same class working together. I was in disbelief that God would do this. I was like, why, God? So fast, about a year, Took a year, I finished my grade 12. Took a year through that whole experience. Was it hard? Yes. Did I have to manage my time between my kids and my wife and school and internship? Yes, it was hard. But the amazing thing that happened through that experience is I actually got a scholarship. And that scholarship, because of my grades, I was able to use for my first semester rolling of biblical studies. Did I see that coming? No, not at all. So God was preparing the way for me, even if I didn't even see it. That was my river that I had to face 5 years ago. The question is, what is your river today? Let me pray. God, I thank you for this story. God, I thank you for how, God, we can see that a life of faith is going to include challenges, God. There's moments in our life, God, that you are calling us to step out in faith, God, and we are terrified. God, we want to control things, but we can't. God, would you give us the boldness for us to be able to trust you in an act of faith, follow you where you may be leading us, what river you've presented to us, God? God, we know that in all things you work for our good. But God, we ask that you would show us, God, where we need to walk, what our next step is, God, and how we can love you through that. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.